cliffcentral.com. All right, George, what do you got for us this morning?
Well, back down to earth, I guess. In Alabama, this always happens in Florida, America.
Alabama.
Some guy, well, actually, his name was Tory Gray, was moving a couple of hundred kilometers and driving his truck with a load of his goods on the back, saw the car in front of him swerve. And didn't know what the car swerved for. And he eventually realized that when he had stopped at the next filling station, he hit an owl.
Ooh.
And this owl was stuck in his, in their terms, truck. In his truck's grill for a couple of hundred kilometers.
Oh, my God.
But the strange thing is that the owl was fine. It broke the grill, was sitting against the radiator. He called the conservation services. They came to dislodge the owl, and the owl was actually fine. And it was more, his car was more damaged than the owl.
Jeez.
I'm glad to hear the owl survived, but you know, this happens because owls often will land on the road in South Africa to pick up something like a rat or a rodent or a rabbit or something that's crossed the road and got hit by a car. And many people have killed owls because they'll land on the road and then, you know, they're easily startled by bright light because they're nocturnal creatures. And also we've got huge numbers of people in this country who are terribly superstitious about owls. And they kill the owls. So we actually should be looking after these animals. I'm very sad to hear that this one was hit by this bucky, but at least it survived.
Yeah, it survived. It was fine. I sent you a link. You can see the gentleman holding the owl. The owl seems quite calm, actually. I'm glad the owl survived. But, how does an animal get hit at high speed and survive a couple of 100-kilometer journey sitting against the grill of a radiator of a car?
Well, that makes me think of something, and maybe you can help us with this for next week's show, George. What is the perfect vehicle to have if there's a zombie apocalypse? I know you're the right guy. Yeah, I want you to do some research and ask your team because you've got some very sharp people at Auto Trader, and I know you guys can give me the whole spectrum of cars and vehicles and whatever it might be. What kind of vehicle would Leanne and Sia and you and I need if we were going into the zombie apocalypse? I watched
I won't guess. I'll come back to you.
I watched that video of that dude who was transporting, I think, cell phones and you know, that video of him being shot at by those hijackers. And he kept driving and he had the guy next to him loading the gun. And, you know, he managed to drive just unbelievably well and kept his cool throughout. And we were all, I think everybody in the country has been talking about him this week. But I thought about him and I thought, like, he would be a great driver during a zombie apocalypse. But what kind of vehicle would be the best thing to give him? So that in those circumstances, he can really live up to his maximum efficiency, capacity, ability.
He needs one of those cars with the wheels that rotate all the way around so that you can drive sideways as well.
Don't all wheels rotate all the way around?
No.
That's what I was thinking.
As in the wheels of the bus go round and round?
No. So imagine they're not on an axis. They're suspended in another way, and they can pivot so that you can drive left or right, like straight into a parallel parking.
You know that Mercedes, I think it's Mercedes-Benz, have this technology on their hiring car, where the rear wheel turns. The front wheels turn like front wheels turn, but the rear wheel turns slightly to help the car around a corner or turn. But I know what you mean. So you can parallel park quite easily.
But they don't
change direction when the hijackers or the zombies are there.
If the car's like this, the wheel's got to be perpendicular to it. Leanne is saying that she actually wants a wheel that can, like, you know, they can all in sync. They can all sort of lean, basically.
No, so. I'm trying to explain it. It's so hard.
You know, Dr. Reza Mia was saying to me, he's really been looking for an engineer and he was thinking about you. And then he was so sure that you were the one, Leanne. And now after listening to you for the last 2 seconds, he's like, nah, not that bitch.
Okay, just quickly, I need to get this off my chest.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so imagine Imagine two cars against the same.
What?
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
I sent you a link with an example.
All right. Go on, Leanne. What, just describe it the way you want to.
Mm.
So, okay. Imagine you're looking from a drone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're looking from an aerial point of view.
Right.
And you can see next to the pavement are two cars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a parking spot between them that you want to get into.
A parallel park.
Just in front of the restaurant, a parallel spot.
Okay.
So imagine driving up to that spot so that you are right next to the spot. You're mm-hmm. not forward next mm-hmm. to the other car or right. back next to the other car.
Right.
You're directly next to the open spot.
Mm-hmm.
Your wheels rotate. They spin around. And then you can just move to the right or the left to get into that spot.
Your wheels will turn perpendicular.
Oh, fuck off.
No, I'm trying to explain it to me. They will turn.
I know Leanne.
Yeah, I know too. I mean, she's basically saying you just slide into the parking because you.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh up, my Sarah. God.
She's so aggressive today.
Is it worth it for you, Leanne? It took 40,000 years to convey that.
And actually, we all.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Sia?
We all understood from the start. We knew what you meant.
Oh, did you?
Yes, we were just giving you shit.
Well, then my job here is done.
No.
I just wanted to see how far this would go and how annoyed you'd be.
All right, so I just want to go back to George because that's actually why we're here at this point.
Yes.
So, George, we've given you an assignment for next week with the zombie apocalypse, but go on with your agenda for the day. Let's hear what else you've got on your list of things.
I sent you a photograph.
Yes, there it is.
Okay. There we go. a car salesman, obviously in the United States, selling Fiat Chrysler automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Has been for the last 9 years collecting bonuses, selling Fiat Chryslers, to the tune of about 9.9 million rand, which means he's collected bonuses of about 1 million rand a year by giving customers discounts. So here's how the thing worked. Customer would walk in, any customer, not necessarily a relation to him. He would offer the customer a 5% discount. And how he would apply the discount was he would tell the customer to say that they were a relative of an employee of Fiat Chrysler.
Okay.
And in so doing, get the discount. I mean, employees get discounts at retail stores, and with your family, you might be able to benefit from that. But this was fake. So he apparently sold over 250 cars in January 2020 alone on this basis, and has collected 9.9 million rand over the last 9 years. But how he was caught was interesting, because employees in the business started to see that people were applying for discounts on their names.
Mm-hmm.
And so the federal agents arrested him on April the 30th, and he's posted bail, but his hearing is set for next month, May.
Because nobody's family can be that big, right? There's not that many people who can have a relative discount.
A relative discount, exactly. you think to yourself, how many times does that actually happen in other scenarios? You know, you go and you buy something, you've got a friend that can get a discount because he's or her is working there. I think this happens in real life all the time.
Oh, especially in South Africa. I mean, these days, if you have a friend who's in the ANC, you can get a government job. You just have to say, this is my friend. And you end up Director General of Home Affairs before you can click your fingers. It's fantastic. It's called nepotism.
Good point.
And it is such a big win in this country of ours. It's just the best.
Well, I hope he gets nabbed for it because you can't have that big a family, as you say. But getting on to the actual local economy, we're unfortunately seeing higher and higher car prices. I think we predicted this about 2 or 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Consumers aren't buying new cars anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they are buying new cars, but they're buying less of them. It turns out that we are going to see about an 8 to 9%, or we're busy seeing an 8 to 9% increase in new car prices. But that's not the challenge, because as volumes drop, average prices go up. Used car prices are starting to rise. We're going up from the mid 1% in used car prices in terms of price increases to the mid 3-4%. And I think this is as a result of demand on used cars. People aren't buying new, they're buying used, and there's a lack of stock in the country. But it translates into another problem. Yeah. We've seen exports increase in the first quarter of this year by 4% versus last year. So 60% of the vehicles we make in this country are exported. We've seen an increase of 4%. And I keep saying that we are going to lose our export industry if we don't move to EVs.
Yeah, I mean, you've warned about this. And do we build any electric vehicles here?
No. So that's the big problem. Mm-hmm. Is we need to retool our manufacturing plants. Now, the OEMs are all over it. It's not like they're not doing anything. The trouble is it's expensive and the margins on cars are thin. Not, you know, if you can buy a 500,000 rand car or a 1 million rand car, it's not like the manufacturer or the dealer is making 250,000 rand. That's not the case. The margins are very thin. But to retool these plants is very expensive. Often puts the OEM into a loss-making scenario. So government has to come to the party.
Yeah.
The encouraging thing.
George, do you really think government are the people who are going to make this happen? Or do you think private industry will just catch on and go, okay, listen, guys, if we want to stay in business, we better start building these instead of those?
No, well, that's already the case. I think that OEMs are, I mean, they're my customers. They are on the bandwagon. Yeah.
Good.
It's just really difficult to transition a business. And at the end of the day, more than likely, OEMs might take the hit, you know, in order to transition their businesses. But government can make it a lot easier by reducing import taxes as well as incentivizing consumers. You imagine incentivizing companies giving employees company cars with zero tax in 5 years.
I can totally imagine that. I also think that ultimately we're going to move in that direction, but it's going to take a while. I think we're really at the back of that curve. I don't think we're at the front.
But we've got a drop dead date, and that's 2030 to 2035. England says no more ICE vehicle sales from 2030, and Europe is somewhere in the region of 2035. So we don't have a lot of time.
But that doesn't mean people aren't still going to drive those ICE vehicles. They're still going to be out there. They're still going to be on the road. It's just going to be very difficult to find parts. It's going to become increasingly difficult for people who do want to buy them to find them, you know, anywhere except on Auto Trader, obviously. But this is exciting, George. I'm happy about this. I think it's a good development. There's going to be more competition. There's going to be some really interesting innovation. I don't think anyone's going to look back except the serious petrol head car fanatics and go, oh, we've lost something. I think they're going I think they're going to go, I want an ICE vehicle because it's going to be so much more modern and easy to use and fuel efficient and it'll be able to do things that ordinary cars now can't. So I'm happy for this. I think it's good.
No, it's a very good thing. But I'm going to keep bleating about this until we start to see the curve changing, because EV sales globally has grown by 41% in the last year.
Sure.
Global.
That's quite something.
We're not talking about South African sales, which is a very low number, but 41%. And for the first time, Europe grew faster than China.
Very good. Very, very good. All right. What else we got?
That's it.
That's it.
Bleated on about it.
That's it. Leanne, do you want to explain any other complicated engineering to us before we go?
No, I've learned my lesson. Keeping quiet. There's the car, by the way.
I'm in an EV.
All right, Leanne.
Do with it what you will.
All right, thank you, Leanne. Very good. CliffCentral.com.